Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Outlander podcast. I am Matthew B. Roberts, also known as Matt Roberts, here with
Tony Graffia.
And we're here to watch episode 7, Creme de Month, written by the talented Karen Campbell.
And today's alcohol, in honor of the episode, of course, is Creme de Month. And from Hiram Walker, and it says it's a cocktail mixer, but we're going to drink it the old-fashioned way, straight, maybe with a cube of ice.
And straight and green.
It's very green. It's very green.
I'm afraid what our teeth are going to look like after we drink that. So,
yeah, thankfully, I think we could polish off this bottle in one podcast. What do you think?
Yeah, thankfully this is a podcast and not, you know, on camera.
So. Yeah. Yeah, you can't watch us. You're missing out.
So episode 7 this is after the big reunion. Jamie and Claire back together again. We've been waiting a whole half a season to get them back together, and I think everybody's been waiting probably a year and a half to watch this, to watch what happened last episode. But this episode was quite, production-wise, a really big to-do, just because, you know, what's coming.
Right. You'll notice the title card is, in case you don't know what that is, it's an old-fashioned fire engine.
It was. It actually worked.
And it was a working fire engine. It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was a cool idea for a title card. And here, of course, we left off.
He left off
the end of the last episode with Claire being attacked by this guy in
the room. Well, or at least he was. Yeah, he was in the room, and now it's the attack takes place in the opening of this. We went round and round about this in the writers' room when to end episode 6, the reunion episode, and then to start really kind of a new chapter, and we finally ended up pushing the entire, you know, attack into this episode because we felt like it took away from the reunion itself.
Right. Claire, she's only been back.
Well, there's like 24 hours.
Been back less than 24 hours, and, well, she's already gotten herself into a little mess of trouble here.
But I remember the last time she came back, or the first time she came back, she was in a mess of trouble right off the bat, too. Murtaugh had to save it.
Absolutely. I mean, wherever she goes, she just causes trouble. This woman's a menace. But we love her.
Well, you do. Well, Jamie loves her.
Yeah, well, he loves her a lot.
That's all that matters.
We all love her.
So we... I think this is Claire switching over into doctor mode. We went around about this in the room discussing, you know, how far she would go, what she would do.
Right, and the main idea was to show, you know, the last episode, the reunion was, you know, all you know, wine and roses. It was all happy, and you know, it's realistic that they would eventually start running into a few bumps in the road here, and this is the first one, because Claire, you know, now that she's been a doctor for I think around 14 years,
yeah.
And a surgeon, you know, she took an oath to heal, and this is one of the first areas where they start to clash a little bit, just because they're so different and come from such different places, and Claire's, you know, main objective is to save people, and Jamie's like, why do you want to save someone who's trying to kill you? So
it's pragmatic, and it's I like, it's a really good question that he has.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a person that, you know, was just looking for help, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
I think this was, Jamie and Claire don't always agree on certain things, but they always, you know, the love is never in question. And I think that's the important thing, is as the stories go and as their relationship grows even stronger, it's people, they have strong opinions. They're strong-willed people, and that's one reason why we love them. But they certainly, it doesn't reflect on how much they love each other.
No, they very much respect one another. Jamie doesn't understand this, but he's going to back her up. And we always like to say, you know, one of our main tenets of the show is that it, you know, this isn't a normal TV show where the lead couple just bickers over nothing. When they do fight, it's got a lot of substance to it. And they're not, you know, the show is not about them fighting and the push-pull between them. It's them against the world. They're the team. So the conflict comes from outside the relationship, and they team up. And that's what we love about them. In every episode, we don't have to guess. Are they going to, you know, will they, won't they? Are they going to stay together? Are they not? They certainly face, you know, some realistic troubles that couples face, but they get through it. They face it together, and they respect each other ultimately, and the differences of from where they come from. And that's what makes them a great team.
And I think this was a way of trying to show, we have to truncate a lot of story because of how much time we have to tell our story. You know, she's been away for 20 years, and they're slightly different people now, but their love isn't different. Just who they are is slightly different.
Right.
So they just have to get to know each other again.
Yeah,
that's the line. That's really the line that explains it to her. Is, hey,
yeah,
I know you've been gone a long time, and so maybe you forgot. But this is how it works in this time.
Exactly.
And it doesn't work the way you want it to, just because you want it to. And I love that line from Jamie. Is, you know, I want you here. I love you. I want you to be here. But remember, you're in a different time now.
Yeah. And it's dangerous to not remember, because basically, you know, in her time, this guy, they would have saved him and, you know, brought him, arrested him and brought him to court, you know, and did justice the right way. But Jamie's like, look, if you call the cops in this era, you're going to get hauled away.
Yep.
And it's very dangerous for her to not remember, you know.
Well, that's why, you know, in episode, the first season, when he spanked her, it wasn't because he was malicious. It was a practical thing in his mind.
Right.
That he's saying, hey, you need to know how it works in this time, and I'm gonna show you. Well, actually, it wasn't the time, because what he said is, I don't know where you come from, and you may have an easier life where you come from.
Yeah.
And we all knew that it was, you know, the 20th century, but he was just trying to teach her a lesson.
That's right. He didn't even know at the time that she was traveler.
No, not at that moment. Oh, thank you, Kevin.
No worries.
Great shot of Edinburgh.
Now, this street was created in the back lot, in our parking lot, actually.
Yeah,
and we built the facades, and then that's visual effects all done with computers, and it looks as real as if we were there.
This is where we first meet Archie Campbell.
Archie, played by Mark Hadfield, who is a very, very talented actor. He brings so many small little choices he makes. I can't usually stop watching him. That's how
good
he is.
He's such a little slippery guy, you know. He comes off very charming, but he's slippery. He's out for, you know, he's out for himself. He likes money. And
I like how he's present in the scene.
He's looking at,
even though he's
looking
not,
at her wallet.
Yeah.
How much? That's a lot of coins you got in there.
Now we decided to go away from a couple things in the book that the Archie that the Campbell's involved with, but.
Now just, this
it's more of a time thing.
This is an interesting scene, because actually we had cut this scene out of the original draft of the script when it was long, I believe. And then when we had shot the script, it actually came out
short.
A little short, which rarely happens because, you know.
Well, what happened with this one is that it was, there's a lot more action in this particular script than most of our, I mean, you know, most of our,
right.
our yeah. shows. And this was actually filmed in South Africa.
Right. We were like, oh, you know, the episode is short. We need to go back and add a scene. And hey, instead of writing a new one, let's go pick up that scene that we all loved with Fergus and young Ian selling the liquor to
and we
this
had
man. And all we needed was an alley. Like, can we find an alley in South Africa? And of course, you found one.
Did find one.
Well,
what we did is we didn't know the episode was short until after we had moved to South Africa.
Right.
So whatever we were going to do, it had to be there. And it wasn't raining in South Africa, so we made it rain in South Africa because of that. That's one way to tie it into Scotland. Hey, look,
right,
it's raining.
Right. And we love young Ian so much, and Fergus. They're great together. They're very funny and just great. Look, that's just a great face. And I like that he's asking about, you know, Claire. Like, do you remember her? And Fergus is like, she's a badass. You don't even know what a badass she is. And, of course, it's juxtaposed with, like, she's just had this fight with this guy back at the
that's
at
a great
the brothel.
Line. If Auntie Claire, you know, had to kill someone, they deserved it, you know, so I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Jamie's frustration here. He's like, you know what would have solved this problem?
Yeah.
The letting him die.
Yeah. I'm sure Madame Jean is not too thrilled with Claire right now either. She was a little miffed when this English woman showed up out of nowhere. And now, not only is she shacking up with Jamie, who I think Madame Jean might have had a little crush on, and who does not? But now, you know, she's got this guy, and they're in a little trouble here.
Claire brought her little kit from America, or the 20th
yeah.
century,
Here's
actually.
Here's the first time it comes in handy, right?
This is a different kind of brothel than than we saw in France. This is that was more of a gentleman's salon in France, and this is more of a brothel.
Yeah, this is a little rougher here. Now, Jamie revealed to Claire in the last episode that he did a little smuggling on the side, and here's the guy that he's paying off.
Sir Percival. This is Gary Young, obviously we met last episode, who plays Mr. Willoughby. And
yeah.
Gary did a really nice job. He's it's a tough character to, because so many book readers have their image of him, and it's tough to do when you have to step in and personify someone that 26 or more, 26 million, but it's probably 30 million now that have read the books.
Right, right. Well, I like in this scene how he has to watch Claire do this crazy. I mean, he's a healer himself. He carries herbs around. He does acupuncture, but he's never seen anything like this. He's like, hold on, lady, you're going to kill him. We did a lot of medical research to make this happen. You might recognize this shot from the main title. It was so cool we put it in the main title. It's an old-fashioned trephane where you know, you drill into the skull to release the blood that's built up, and it's very risky. But this is the kind of confidence that Claire has. She did a lot of healing, a lot more you know, than she had studied about when she was here before. But now, you know, having gone to Harvard Med, she knows a lot more, and she's upped her game, and it's fun to see her doing this medical stuff this season. I think is pretty cool.
We actually created a portion of the head, and it's a prosthetic, so that's how that was done. We drilled in.
They didn't really drill into the guy?
Not the guy. yes,
we paid him. I thought we paid him extra so he could drill into his head.
We paid him extra to shave his head. But anyway, it was only part, half of the head that we used. That's why it was such a tight shot.
Yeah, but it looks really real, and we have a fantastic department that does all of this kind of stuff.
These are all sets that Gary Steele and the art department built for this episode. They repurposed this. This was actually at one point from season two. This would have been the interior of the museum that Claire goes to in episode 213. And this upstairs was built. This is directly over the brothel, so it's actually connected by the stairs. So normally in a lot of our sets, when they go upstairs, the stairs dead, you know, they deaden, and then we create the upstairs on another stage. Well, this one actually connects. So when you go up the stairs, you go through that door, and it is right there. So this is
realistic that it's the exact way it would have been.
It is higher up. And what happens when you elevate a set, heat rises. So with the lights and then you add the crew members, because so there's three people in the scene, but there's really more than that in the room. There's probably six other people or seven other people standing there filming this. So it gets hot.
Right.
Which is really good commentary on our hair and makeup team, who, you know, have to keep them looking fresh during the whole scene,
right?
Rather than breaking into sweat, you know, in cold, what would have been considered cold Edinburgh at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that Claire is actually kind of really devastated that this guy, that she couldn't save this guy.
Well, at least there's not going to be a malpractice lawsuit.
That's true. I think she, you know, when she thought about coming back, obviously her main thought was, I'll get to be with Jamie again, and that was really all that mattered. And now I think, now that she's here, she's kind of remembering slowly, like, oh yeah, there's a few hitches with being here. It's very different, and you know, it costs her a little something in her own principles and in, you know, having to live this different way. It chips away at you a little, and she's gonna have a readjustment period now that she's back.
Well, that's really what it is, you know. She has to readjust to the time. Now what's not on camera is the travel to Edinburgh. That would have been last episode, but she's been there a little bit of time, but not enough to acclimate, I don't think, because the first, you know, week would have been thinking solely about that first moment with Jamie. She probably blocked out a lot of things. You know, this is how I reconcile it in my head is, hey, what would I have been doing?
Yeah.
Well, I would have just been thinking about that moment of meeting the person I loved. And then all the day-to-days, I wouldn't even have thought about.
Yeah.
It's creating that fantasy. Yeah. And now once you have that meeting and he's here in front of you, well, now the day-to-days have to come up.
All right. Hey, no more hot showers.
Right.
But Jamie's worth it.
I love that Jamie's always worrying about her too. You know, he can't help himself.
He's protective. He's a very protective guy. Yeah, he's like, you can't walk to the, you know, by yourself. She's like, I just came 200 years, so I think I can make it across Edinburgh by myself.
That moment, this is the moment I think is my favorite in the actual episode, is because he, you know, Jamie's a pretty self-assured guy, but in that moment, he was slightly unsure.
Like, and, are you coming back?
Yeah, and that's enough for him, you know? That's enough for him.
She could have freaked out and left, you know, and I like that he feels bad, kind of like, wow, I hope this isn't too much for you. I hope you're not too bummed. And she's like worried later. I think she says to him, I'm sorry all the trouble I've caused you by coming back. But none of that matters because they're together.
I didn't think he was thinking, oh, you don't love me anymore. I think it was more that he was saying, I know this time is more than than what you have to deal with, you know, in the 20th century. So you will come back. And you know, he knew she was going to say yes. But I think it's sometimes you like to hear things.
Exactly. This is a fun little scene. We just thought it would be a really fun pairing to have Fergus and young Ian together. And give them a little flirtation at the tavern. Fergus, you know, he grew up in a brothel. He knows his way around the ladies.
We always say that. Everybody says that in the room. And he was 10. And Jamie took him. He didn't really grow. Jamie schooled him. Jamie's his teacher.
True.
So
but
most
he's
of
comfortable
his...
around. I think we just mean he's comfortable around women.
No,
he likes women.
He kind of
knows what makes him tick. Remember you gave Murtaugh that little lesson about... ladies back at the hospital in Paris.
Anybody could give Murtaugh a lesson about ladies.
That's true. He's not Murtaugh.
Yeah.
It's not well versed in women.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite scenes in the script, and I remember telling Karen after I'd read this that was a really great job she did on this scene because it's just funny. It's just, they're both adorable.
They are. They're really, I think, they play off each other so well, which reminds me in a lot of ways of the way Jamie and Murtaugh played off each other in the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
And you want to keep that kind of spirit going in the show.
Yeah, I'd watch a show just about them. That's why I love this show so much. There's so many characters where I'm like, you know, I'd watch a whole show about Galus. I'd watch a whole show, you know, about
Blackjack.
Blackjack. I'd watch the Frank and Claire in the 40s and 50s show. They're just.
Yeah. I think there's plenty of spinoffs if we wanted to go.
There's just too many spinoffs.
Yeah. So once again, this was filmed not on the Royal Mile, but in the parking lot behind our studios, and
we
created
do a lot of filming in the parking lot. Yeah. I notice we say that all the time.
We
and
do.
This was built in our parking lot.
Yeah.
We don't want to like blow everybody's image of.
No, but we like you know I definitely like to. To give shout outs to our construction crew, our visual effects supervisor, Richard Briscoe, who does a magnificent job of creating these worlds for us. And it seamlessly ties into our practical sets.
Right.
And that's what makes Outlander so special.
Right. Here's where we first meet Margaret Campbell. She's played by Allison Pargeter. Hope I said that right. Pargeter. She did a fantastic job with Margaret. Margaret's
not only an amazing talent, but just a lovely person.
And she's a seer who, of course, says a strange word to Claire upon first meeting her. And turns out to mean something later.
Maybe.
Or not. But yeah, Claire, the interesting thing, Claire recognizes that this woman obviously has some, you know, the brother is giving her laudanum to keep her calm, and Claire's like, that's not a good idea. This, you know. I think Claire is happy, in a way, to have a patient again.
I think so.
This is kind of her first official patient, even though she worked on the guy that attacked her, but that was an accidental patient. But she kind of likes this, like, you know, taking her medical bag and going to visit someone that needs her. It makes her feel like herself again and gives her kind of a purpose. You know, she loves Jamie, but she didn't just come back here to tag around with the guy. You know, she's a very strong woman, and she needs to do her thing. And so I think here's where she first starts thinking, and that's what the heartbreak of this episode is. I think they're starting to try to be a couple again and think about their future, and this is where, you know, we wanted a scene like this to portray that she starts thinking, hey, maybe I could, you know, hang out a shingle here and have an office and see patients and do some healing, because she's got to figure out what's her purpose and what she's going to do now that she's back in the past. You know, Jamie wants her to. He's not a guy that is like, just hang out with me. He respects who she is and her talents, and he's very supportive of that, in some ways more than Frank, who was a modern man. So I think Frank, as we talked about in an earlier podcast, might have even been a little threatened by, because he was the breadwinner and he was the professor, and when she went to medical school, maybe it, you know, I think he was proud of her, but it threw him a little, because in his era it also was like,
oh, I definitely think Frank resented it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to work every day and every single one of your colleagues, their wives are probably at home raising a child, and
not, the 50s.
And your wife is one of the first doctor, you know, first women at med school, and will essentially usurp you in bread, in earnings.
Yeah.
And it had to take a hit to his male ego in that era.
Right.
So, and he, look what he was doing. He was taking care of Brianna, kind of as a Mr. Mom type of situation.
Yeah.
So that's even more of a hit that your colleagues, all which are all male.
Right.
Jamie doesn't have that to contend with. You
yeah,
know?
Ironically, Jamie is Jamie's the man. Really cool about it.
Yeah.
And but, you know, they're in Edinburgh, so it's not like she's coming back to Lollybrock and thinking, I'm going to be a wife on a, you know, estate, farm wife. She's in the city, and I think there's some excitement maybe even about that for her. Have to agree. Not
look,
a singer.
John sings like a bird. We told him to act like he couldn't sing. You owe me for that one, John.
We had to pay him a little extra to sing badly. And now this is back at the print shop.
Yes, we're in the print shop, where Ian normally keeps a cot. I love that little look on his face.
Oh, he's in heaven. This is going to be his first time.
He's heard about this.
Oh yeah, he's
like Jamie. He's seen seen it on the farm.
Yeah, the old it's let's do it like horses. I just love the word kittle-hoosie, right?
I know you do. Tony's very famous for trying to throw in any Scottish slang word that she could possibly find.
Oh, they have great words. You got to admit, they have such great words.
I agree, but when it comes out of nowhere and makes no, you know, when somebody has to make sense of it.
Well, this makes sense.
Well, that one made sense. Hey, this is a title I didn't change, by the way. Actually, I did.
You wanted to.
No, actually, I did change it to Creme de Menthe. It was something else.
You did not.
I did.
You did not. You did not want Creme de Menthe. You thought it might be a spoiler.
No, that...
Remember?
No, that's not true.
And we were like, come on.
No, that's not true.
In fact, what did we discover?
Well, yeah, it is a spoiler because it doesn't take... Creme de Menthe wasn't invented until...
Yes, we did discover Creme de Menthe didn't actually exist in this era.
Yeah.
But we loved it so much, we couldn't change that. What could we change it to? Like,
I think this I think this was something else.
Bailey's Irish Cream?
Well, that wasn't invented either.
Well, we loved Creme de Menthe, and it was just so visual. The green, we kept it...
You're right, yeah. You didn't, because it wasn't around.
That's right.
But that's right. I think this is where Claire is in the moment of, like, hey, maybe we can make a life here.
Yeah. I love that they're so full of hope, you know, in the beginning of this. You know, they...
Like, leave the brothel?
Yeah.
I love that. This is another great line. What are you talking about? The brothel works out great.
That's right. he's like, well... The rent is free. I mean, what else do you need? Right? who says Jamie's not a romantic?
Yeah, and who says Outlander isn't for men? I mean, that's every guy in the world would be going, hey.
Outlanders, they totally get it. They're like, yeah, hey, dude, just let's live in a brothel.
Jamie Fraser wants to live at a brothel. Why can't I?
Absolutely.
That's a good T-shirt.
This was a big debate in the writer's room.
What to say to Ian Murray?
Well, whether Jamie should, basically whether Jamie should lie to Ian, his brother-in-law, and cover for young Ian.
He does that in the book, though. I mean, he covers for him in the book.
He covers for him. I mean, you know, he's taken good care of young Ian. He knows the boy is safe. He was young once, and he gets it. And he knows that even Big Ian, the two of them, when they were young Ian's age, they were already in France in the army. They were already gallivanting around and having adventures. And Jamie believes they're being a bit overprotective of the boy. And Jamie knows that the tighter they hold on to him, the more they're going to risk losing him. And Jamie's justification is he believes that better for Ian to be with him and be safe in Edinburgh than to be, if he wasn't there, he might have run away to Aberdeen or some other town that's a lot rougher and, you know. Without family. And it was dangerous for boys in this age because there were press gangs that went around and picked him up off the streets and put him to work on ships. That was a real danger and fear. And so in his mind, he's protecting young Ian. But it's going to cause a little bit of a tiff with Claire, who's like, hold on, you know, why aren't you telling him? He's a worried parent. She knows what it's like to be a parent and thinks that that's one of the worst things you can do is make a parent, you know, be worried about their kid. And this is the first time we see Stephen Cree.
We saw him in episode two.
Did we?
At Lollybrock?
Oh, you're right. Actually, we saw him in episode one.
Well, at the very...
Because they're there when Jamie...
At the very end of...
At the very end,
one,
right.
And then he's in all of episode
you're
two.
You're right.
You know, has a big, long scene with him, remember?
Duh. Drank too much creme de menthe.
Yeah.
The creme de menthe is kicking in.
Yep, it is kicking in. Maybe that's why they say mix it.
Oh, I should. That's the problem. Drinking it straight.
You should put it in.
On some ice cream. It's very good on vanilla ice cream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you've tried.
Absolutely. We had a creme de menthe party, remember? After this episode was done.
I was.
Yeah. You were probably in Scotland.
I was most definitely in Scotland.
Anyway, just there, just before this scene, we noticed that Ian says. Intimates that there's a little secret Jamie's keeping.
Yeah.
Like, have you told her? He's like, not yet.
Yeah.
So once again, there's a little something.
You know,
that,
he's holding something back. It's
yeah.
You know.
And here's where we see our Milky Eye guy. We keep calling him Milky Eye, played by Ian Reddington. Snooping around.
Yeah.
Trying to get the goods on Jamie. Had the rudeness to interrupt young Ian's first time. Ian's pretty pissed about it. I think anyone would be. He's looking for liquor, but what he finds behind the secret panel, and this was built into the print shop, right?
Yeah, we had different secret little panels built in all around this print shop for Jamie's
seditious
pamphlets. You know, Jamie's a clever guy; he just wouldn't leave it out. So, I think that's.
And the fire, you can...
Now, all these, this is all real practical fire that we did in the print shop. It was
all done safely, of course, but we really, when you talk about a print shop fire, we really did it, both inside and out.
You found a real building and... You built this one.
We built the facade, once again, on the back lot. And,
so... We went to a place off the Royal Mile to do the exterior scenes mm-hmm. of the print shop, but we couldn't actually do a practical burn there because it's, you know...
Right.
Hundreds of years old, it's a museum. You know, there's a lot of reasons why you can't do it. So we built the facade on the back lot, and we burned that.
Right. So,
and we did a progression. We'll see it when it comes up later.
Again, we wanted to build in, you know, some moments of conflict for Claire and Jamie without it being some... ridiculous, bickersome argument. This is a very real, you know, Claire has feelings as a parent because she's raised a child. She would be worried sick about Brianna if Brianna had, you know, run off with, you know, and as a teenager and she didn't know where she was. And she's kind of unleashing that a little here. And Jamie, you know, not on purpose, but she ends up kind of hitting him where it hurts because she's basically like, if you were a parent, you would know what a, you know, big deal this is. And it hurts him because he's like, well, I wanted to be a parent and I didn't get to be a parent. So thanks for bringing that up, you know, and then she realized he's a little wounded over that. She didn't mean to. But it is a difference between them that Jamie hasn't so far been a father to his own child. And, you know, perhaps that's why he's tried to parent, you know, young Ian and Fergus. He's had kids in his life that he loved and cared about very, very much. But it's a wound on his heart that he didn't get to raise not only Brianna, but also Willie.
I think what's nice about the argument is they're both right.
Yeah.
They're, you know, she's right and he's 100% right. So, you know, what his motivations are, I think, are exactly what you just said, is that, you know, he wants to be a father. He wants to feel like he's raising someone. But the reasons what he said, gave out are, hey, the kid keeps running away and he's going to do it again.
Yeah.
Why not be in a safe place?
Right. Well, here's we see a little bit of Jamie's. You know, she really grilled him in the, you know, in the last episode. Obviously, she said, "Did you ever fall in love with anyone else?" And, you know, she asked all the questions she wanted to ask. He didn't ask a whole lot, but obviously, he has a little bit of wanting to know what happened with her and Frank when she went back. Did she get back? Did she love him? You know, did she sleep with him? And we see a little glimpse of that here, which I thought was interesting. This is the facade there.
That was the facade. So it goes back and forth. Like this stuff with... So that's the facade again. This is actually on location. You know, so we cut back and forth seamlessly to create this real fire.
Yeah, so this looks amazing. I mean, this looks so real. I remember just watching this, even in some of the early cuts, and just holding my breath through the whole sequence because it looked very real. That's Jamie jumping down because there were two levels to the print shop.
Yeah. You come in on the upper floor, and then you come down.
Yeah. Now, I remember that in the book, it said that Jamie and several guys carry the printing press out and rescue the printing press. And I remember we wanted to do that, but then you called up, and we were like, can we carry them out? And you're like, these things weigh like 10 tons.
And how, you're not getting it out.
There's no way.
It wouldn't have fit out the door.
No, like you can't get it out a door.
You would have had to take it apart and then take it out. It's just too big.
So the compromise
was that he uses it to help escape. You know,
he pushes it under the window and uses it.
And normally they're attached to the ceiling. You know, the printing presses are attached to the ceiling with a big steel bar, and that's where we were going to do it. But we decided, he couldn't have done anything with it if we did that. So he remembered to get his portrait of Willie, because that was important to him. And that's a departure from the book, is when we talk about Willie. Well, this was all done. There's really flames. Our special effects team created these layers of flames. Sam was always safe, but this is all real fire here. We're really burning the place.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah.
Now oh, that, the sign.
That sign, yeah. That sign is now hanging in my office, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And you designed
I added, if people look carefully.
A little Easter egg in that sign.
Yeah, Gary's team designed the actual sign, but I had them add just a little J and a C within the art, within the ironwork for, obviously, for Jamie and Claire.
Yeah, nice.
So this was filmed on location, right off the Royal Mile. Mm-hmm. We spent two nights there filming a lot of this sequence, I'm sure this will get added to the Outlander tour.
Right.
For folks who want to go and actually walk through the close there.
Is there really a close called Carfax Close?
No, it's Bakehouse Close. The
Bakehouse
yeah,
Close.
Carfax is Diana's invention.
Oh, she made that particular one up.
Yeah.
Because there really is a Carruthers, is that how you said, Carruthers Close, where the apothecary, I think we took that from a real close where
The World's End
Archie Campbell goes.
The World's End is also there, too.
Ah, The World's End
and
is a
this,
real bad one.
This particular close is right down the street from it.
Ah.
So.
Yeah, that's cool. I remember walking through the Royal Mile in those little tiny alleys. They're just really super cool.
Yeah.
Very slippery in the rain, though. I don't know how those people got around. It's a magical city, Edinburgh. Just gorgeous.
Well, secret's out.
The cat's out of the bag, at least to the audience.
Let's see how Jamie puts the cat back in the bag.
Yeah, it's a pretty.
This was
pretty
something.
Big cat with some
something
pretty big
we
claws.
We went round and round and round about on when does he reveal this particular. We burned it.
Yeah, that's a nice shot there.
Yeah, what we did Jamie there is that was. Jamie in the real location, but the burn takes place, and then we put it together using visual effects.
It's great because we wanted to end on
kind
of
his
heartbreak of literally everything he has is up in flames, and the life that he thought he was going to have with Claire, now that she's back, it's over, and he's got to get out of town.
Well, thanks everybody for joining Tony and I on the podcast here for episode 7, Creme de Menthe. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good night.
Cheers.